And we had really pretty worship. It was so pretty, and there was a song I never heard before. Pastor Bill actually did worship, so maybe it wasn't pretty. What do you say when a guy does worship? Can't be a handsome worship. It was just wonderful worship. But anyhow, he did a really neat song that I really like, and it's called Because of Your Love. I never heard of it before. He told me later it was by Phil Wickham. Have you heard of it? Anyhow, there were a couple phrases in it. It says, because of your cross, my debt is paid. Because of your blood, my sins are washed away. Now all of my life I freely give because of your love. Because of your love I live. And then later in the song it says, Lord, you gave your love for me, so I will give my life to you, all because of your love, all because of your love. And it was just so pretty, and especially the part where it talks about because of what he did for us, that you turn around and give your life back. And it's sort of what we talked about last week in Romans 12:1, where it says, in view of your God's mercy, offer yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And that was just a neat song this morning. And then tonight, she started off with Search My Heart. And it says, see if there be anything at all that might keep me from knowing you, keep me from loving you, keep me from serving you, dear Lord. And I thought, that's Psalms 139, 23, and 24 that we've been talking about too, and how we ask God to just search us. And if we don't give God permission to search us, he already knows what's there. He just wants us to offer it to him. And if we don't, then we actually are causing it where God doesn't even use us because we have sin in our heart. So anyhow, I thought that was pretty interesting. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I just come before you tonight, and I thank you so much for the ladies who are here. Maybe they've worked all day, they're tired, and they just wanted to go home. Maybe they even wanted to watch American Idol. I don't know. But Lord, you know the things that we struggle with and the things that we set aside to just follow you, crazy things like that. And Lord, you know all of it. You know what's going on in our heart. And Lord, I just ask that you would meet each woman here, Lord, that you would just minister to her right now, that her heart would be open, that she would be willing to say, search me, Lord, see if there's anything in me, so that she could totally be used by you. So, Lord, I ask that you would just be with each one of us and just prepare our hearts for the message. And, Lord, I ask that you just go before every word. You know every word that you want me to say, so may they all be your words and not my words. Lord, may you just anoint the teaching right now to minister to each woman. Lord, let us be women who are no longer changing the world through sin, but are changing the world through grace and obedience to you, because you have a call for each one of us. Not one of us is exempt. Lord, each one of us you desire to use. You have a plan for us. Your word says that. And so, Lord, I thank you and praise you, and I give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2. And this isn't in my notes. I always like to tell you what's not in my notes so you know what might be from the Lord, and you might listen a little bit more closely to what's not in my notes, because you know that it's really from the Lord. Anyhow, Ephesians chapter 2, as we were praying, the Lord put this verse on my heart, and it's in verse 10, and it says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. That means you. And me, each one of us, it's God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do a good work. So if you're sitting there thinking, okay, God uses her, or God uses Joy, or God uses Pastor Bill, or God uses whoever, but God doesn't have really any plans for me, that's not what God's word says, which means that's not what God says. God says that you are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do a good work, which he prepared in advance for you to do. And you're only going to find that out as you walk in obedience. And so as we've been doing this study, this is our third week. The first week was, for those of you that might not have been here, was women who change the world through sin. And we saw how big sin and little sin affect those around us, and that we really can be impacting everyone around us, friends, family, coworkers, by our sinful attitude, by sin in our life, and we can be changing the world through sin. And then last week we looked at women who changed the world through grace. And because of God's wonderful grace, We no longer have to be that sinful woman. We can be a woman who's saved by grace, cleansed and forgiven and set free, and we can walk forward in victory. And because of that, we can be changing the world around us through God's grace. And we looked at Romans 12:1 that says, in view of God's mercy, offer yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And that word mercy means that the price has been paid in full. That's God's grace. And so that verse means, in view of what God did for us, offer ourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. That's our spiritual act of worship. You see, because each one of us is created in Christ Jesus to do a good work. And if we're willing to come before God and offer ourselves and say, here I am, Lord. And then when he says, okay, I want to use you, we don't say, no, I changed my mind. But we really say, here I am, okay. Then we can be women who are changing the world around us through obedience to God. And so that's what's exciting. The word obedient means submissive to the restraints or command of authority. And so there's that word submissive that a lot of us don't like. It means if we're obedient, we have to be submissive to those that are in an authoritative position above us. Yes, that's what God's word's calling us to do. Because ultimately, when we're submissive to whoever God places above us, we're being submissive to him. And to the will that he has, the plan that he has for our life. This isn't in my notes either. It's not going to be a note night. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. But we as women, we sort of translate that from English into our own English. And we say this is what the verse says. For I know the plans I have for me, declares myself. Don't we? And so when our plans don't match God's plans, you know, we're like, no, we don't want those plans. Because ours goes something like this. I know the plans I have for me, declares myself. Plans to make me happy and give me everything I want. Because that will give me a hope and a future, I think, right? But so many times it doesn't. When we're going after the things we want. And the Lord says, no, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Now, that's a neat verse because so many times there's things in our life that we're just like, no, I don't want that in my life. And God puts us in situations that he calls us to be obedient to. And as we're obedient in those things, even though they seem so terrible, God's going to use it. And he's going to use it mightily in our life. And he'll do great things. And maybe we can't see it today. And maybe we don't understand why God's allowing something. But God will use it. And it might be a year later. It might be 2 years later. It might be 3 years later that you turn around and you can then say, wow. You really knew what you were doing, Lord. Have you ever thought that, you know, afterwards? You knew. I was clueless, but you knew, you know. And so we need to just be willing to be obedient to what God has for us. Also, instead of being looking at like a theme verse, we've been looking at a theme woman in the Bible. And so our theme woman has been the sinful woman in Luke chapter 7. And we won't turn the story tonight because we've read it twice. But basically in verses 48 and 50, Jesus said to the sinful woman, your sins are forgiven, your faith has saved you, go in peace. And obviously, since she's our mascot, we could see why she would be a good mascot for women who change the world through sin. And then last week we saw how she's a good mascot for women who change the world through grace because I say that her life is still impacting women today, that no matter what sinful life we had in the past, no matter what we even did 10 minutes ago, because of God's wonderful grace, we're forgiven, we're set free, and we're washed clean the minute we run to him and we say, Lord, please forgive us. 1 John 1:9 says that he is faithful and just and will forgive us all our sins. Not some of them, but all of them. And so that's what's so wonderful about God's grace, is holding on to that grace and then moving forward from there. But how is she a woman who has changed the world through obedience? How can we use a sinful woman to match up here? And I think it goes back to Matthew 11, where when you look in chronological order at the gospel, you see that just before Jesus went to the Pharisee's house and she came and washed his feet with her tears, he was speaking to a crowd and he said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." He said, "Come to me." She had to take a step of obedience and go to him. He told her to come. "I have an answer for all of your trials. I have an answer for all of your problem. I have an answer for all of your burden, but you need to be willing to come to me." And he says the same thing to us. And because of her obedience that she went, the Lord then changed the world around her. And he told her, "Go in peace." And I believe that she was obedient to that. She didn't continue to beat herself up for the next 10 years going, I blew it, oh. I think she accepted what he said. And we have that choice as women. We can choose to come to Jesus. And we can choose to believe his words when he says, "Your sins are forgiven, your faith has saved you, go in peace." Or we can choose to ignore it. And either way, it's going to impact the world around us. No matter what choice we make, it's going to impact the world around us. And so tonight, let's talk about how we can be women who are willing to be obedient to the call that God has on our life, so that we can be impacting the world around us for good because of what Christ did in our life. First, he definitely tells each one of us to come to him. Give it to him, lay it down, leave it there once and for all, and march forward in peace. But then he also tells us that he has a work for us to do. And I know so many women, they always ask me, "What is God's perfect will for my life?" Well, it is in Romans 12. Let's turn there. Again, this isn't in my notes. None of this is in my notes. So let's turn to Romans chapter 12 and look at that. Because I think the key of knowing God's plan for your life is found right here. In fact, Romans 12, 1 and 2 is excellent to memorize. It says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Do you want to know his will for your life? Do you want to know what work he has for you to do? Here it is. In view of what he did on the cross, in view of him washing you clean from your sins, offer yourself everything, not just some things. In your Bible study this week, for those of you that did it, we first looked at Mary and how she was willing to do what God asked her to do. And I think that's the first step in being obedient to God, is being willing to do whatever he's calling you to do. When the angel came to Mary and told her what was going to happen, she said in Luke 1:38, she says, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." May we learn from Mary. May we be willing to say, "Yes, Lord." If the Lord says, "You know, I want you to go do this," may we say, "I am the Lord's servant. Yes, Lord." And how many times do we say, "Lord, here I am, send me." And he goes, "Okay," and you go, "No." I've done that, you know. Here I am, you know. And he's like, "Okay, you're going." "No, not there. I didn't want to do that. I wanted to do this," you know. But may we be like Mary. And maybe you are like me and you go, "No." It doesn't mean that we can't get it right, you know, 10 minutes later or the next day or a month later and just say, "Okay, Lord, I blew it. I was wrong. I'll do whatever you want me to do." And we get our heart right again. And at that moment, God will give you the peace and the joy back and you'll be able to follow him. But it's important for us, so important for us, to have that willing heart to serve the Lord because of what God did for us. And with that willing heart, we're going to be able to know. You know, for some of you, this second verse here, it says, do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world. I know many women, I counsel them every week, and we're mostly conforming to the patterns of this world. We are, if you're honest with yourself. We want this or that, or we want to do this or that. And when we're not conforming to what God wants us to conform to, and we're conforming to the pattern of the world, we're not being willing and we're not being obedient to what He's calling us to do. So I want to encourage you, if the Lord's speaking to your heart right now, be willing to not conform to the patterns of this world. Moms, it's really, really easy to conform to the patterns of this world. When our kids are like, please, Mom, please, let me do this, let me go here, let me do that. And you just want to give up sometimes and say, oh, fine, go. You know? And we conform to what all the other kids are doing. But is that the best thing to do for our children? No. And so be willing to follow God no matter what He's put on your heart. Get your strength from Him and walk victoriously and be willing to what He's calling you to do. It's going to be hard. It is to go against the flow of the world, isn't it? Everybody. How many of you Christian moms, I don't know why I'm going off on this, but anyhow, how many of you Christian moms have been raising your kids, you know, and you've set these standards and other Christian kids come in and can do something that your kids can't? And even that's a battle. And your kids are going, but so-and-so gets to do it. And it's like, well, they don't live here. You know, I mean, don't give up. I remember one time my girls wanted to go to a movie and I was saying no, and the Lord really put on my heart, no, they weren't to see that movie. And it wasn't that the movie was so bad. It really wasn't. I mean, I could understand all their arguments, but the Lord put on my heart, no. And my kids were so upset. And you know what? They were so upset because they weren't going to be able to play with their friends. And they didn't get to play with friends all the time. So I sort of felt guilty, you know, and the guilt's pulling me and I'm like ready to give in. And I'm like, no, no. The Lord put on my heart, no. And about 15 minutes later, the mom drove that kid over and said, well, they decided they would rather play with your children instead of go to the movie. So see, God will work it out if you're obedient. But you first have to stand up against the patterns of that world. And so be willing to do what God's putting on your heart and don't compromise in that. Second, we looked at Ruth and her humbleness, that she was willing to put another before her. And God blessed her for that. You know, how many times are we called to die to self and live for Christ? But our flesh gets in the way and we're thinking, me, 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 I. And the Lord's saying, no, you need to put this person before you and honor them. And it's hard. When we lived in Bulgaria, my greatest struggle the last 2.5 years was we lived in a little apartment. It was only about 800 square feet. That's pretty small. And we had 2 little bedrooms that all that fit in there were the beds. Then we had a living room. And then we had a kitchen. That was it. And everything was in the kitchen, the laundry room, everything. And we had a joke that our apartment was the hotel with the revolving door. We always had guests. We had guests more than we didn't have guests. They were always sleeping on my living room. Sometimes we had air mattresses coming out of everywhere. You couldn't even walk around my house. I mean, and you tell people, okay, now you have to get up and put your mattresses away because we have to shift into daytime mode. And now you have to shift because we all have to try to fit at this table. You know, so it's like, okay, everybody stand up against this wall while we make the table big. Okay, you get in first, you get in, you know, and you just like sardines. And this is how we lived. And it was just like, you know, I wanted to say no. No, I don't want anybody else coming. But you know, God really put on my heart that the harvest is plentiful in Bulgaria, but the workers are few. And it breaks my heart to this day that there is not at this moment one long-term Calvary Chapel missionary in Bulgaria. They're in Russia, they're in Ukraine, they're in Romania, they're in all of Eastern Europe, but they're not in Bulgaria. We were the only ones. I could tell you why later, but Bulgaria is sort of a hard country.
And it takes years to establish relationships. And so there's not a lot of work when short-termers come in. But my heart was for the short-termers to come because, you know, I was a short-termer. I started in short-terms. That's how I left my heart in Bulgaria. And if we could get more short-termers over there, then maybe some more would want to come back and stay. But, you know, it took me dying to self. And so here I'm praying, Lord, please send missionaries. He goes, okay, I'm going to send them to your little apartment, 800 square feet with the revolving door. No, not this way, Lord. I want to do it a different way, you know. And it's hard. In November, we had somebody who was there for about a week. Then she left. I had one day to try to get everything ready for a team of 10 from the Bible College in Hungary came in. We had the guys at our office and the girls at our apartment, 5 girls. I mean, it was just like, oh my goodness. And then after that, I had, I think maybe 2 days to get ready for another team coming in. And we don't have a dryer. You have to do all the laundry. You have to wash all those. You had to plan. It takes 2.5 hours for the washing machine to go. And then you have to plan, okay, it's going to take 3 days for these sheets to dry. How can I get the sheets done in time for the next people? You know? And so we need to learn to die to self and live for Christ. Philippians 1:21 says, For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. It's easy for us to say, no, I'm not going to die to self. I want to live for what I want to live for. But you know what? When we do that, we're really ripping ourselves off and we're losing everything. But if we're willing to die to self and live for Christ, God's going to bless us tremendously. Maybe you won't even see it here in this life, but you're going to see it in heaven. God's going to bless you for the way that you died to self and lived for Christ. Paul also wrote in 1 Corinthians 15:31, I die every day. I mean that, brothers. Isn't that interesting? Paul says, I die every day. Why did he say that? What does he mean? Did he physically die every day? No. He was dying every day to his self-wants and putting other people first and being humble in the things that God was calling him to do. And when you do that, you have a powerful ministry. And I really believe that someday there's going to be other Calvary missionaries in Bulgaria. And there's other missionaries there. Don't get me wrong. And I'm not saying Calvary's the only church. But the main thing that I see in Calvary missionaries is 2 things. One, they teach the word verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book, which is so important because most other churches don't do that. They teach topically and they miss the whole counsel of God. And second, Calvary missionaries, for the most part, are led by the Holy Spirit. And when you're working in another country, you got to be led by the Holy Spirit because you can't do it the American way. You're closed doors. And so that's 2 key factors that I see on the mission field that's so important. And that's why my heart breaks. That's why I'd like to see more long-term missionaries there. Because the need, it's great, you guys. We were leaving. They were just saying, don't leave. Please don't leave. And I kept saying, Lord, why are you taking us home? And he's going, don't leave. They're all saying, don't leave. We need you. We need you. And I'm praying, Lord, they don't need me. They need you. You know, it's not us they need. Why do they keep saying that? And the Lord put on my heart, because they see him in us as a family. And that's what they need. They don't have a lot. They have some, but they don't have a lot of mature Christians. A lot of the Christians there are young because communists fell 15 years ago. And so it's basically a very young church there. And then we looked at Sarah and the issue of submission and how she was obedient to God by being submissive to her husband. And that's a word we don't like, especially as wives. We don't like to be submissive to our husbands. I don't like being submissive to my husband. And I was very controlling. Oh, my goodness. I wanted to control everything, mostly from the old deep heart hurts that I had that hadn't been healed yet because, you know, if I could control everything, then maybe nobody'd be hurt again, right? I mean, are there some root issues of why we're very controlling, you know? And so anyhow, I was very controlling, and the Lord started breaking me of that and teaching me I needed to be submissive to my husband, you know? And I thought I was doing pretty good. And then,
then one day the Lord just like taught me that I wasn't being as good as I thought. And so anyhow, in Ephesians 5, 22 through 25, you guys probably know the verses. It says, "Wives, submit to your husband as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives, you should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wife just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." And that day as I was reading this, I'm like, yeah, yeah, I know these verses. You know, don't we do that? Yeah, yeah, I know that story. Anyhow, this day, two words jumped off the page. In everything. In everything. It doesn't say in some things. It doesn't say in the things I want it to be, right? It says in everything. And everything means everything. It doesn't mean some things. And I'm like, in everything? You mean I have to be submissive to things that aren't important, you know? And he's like, yeah, in everything. And the Lord started putting on my heart, you need to submit to your husband in everything. Even things that you don't have to. You see, my husband, he's like my best friend. We're really blessed. We have a really good marriage. He's still my best friend. This Sunday, we'll be married like 23 years. Yeah, and he's still my best friend. I just love him. And he's the most easygoing guy, if you knew him. He really is easygoing. And he would let me do almost anything I want to do. You know, I could just say, okay, Keith, I'm going to do this. And he'd go, that's fine, you know. And so the Lord's put it on my heart, no, I'm not to do that anymore. That I'm to go to him and ask him to pray about it. And if it's okay with him, I can go. And I'm like, well, that's sort of crazy because he doesn't care, you know. And the Lord's like, no, in everything. Well, anyhow, I'd been praying for 3 years to move to Bulgaria. And my husband had never gone. And I just felt like the Lord was putting on my heart, we're supposed to live there for at least 1 year. And I asked my husband, could we move to Bulgaria? And he said, no, I'll never move to Bulgaria. And I went, oh, there's hope. You know, because anytime that you say never for the Lord, then that's when you're going to do that. And so I knew that there was hope. But anyhow, it sort of was going on, and I was sort of getting to the point that I was hopeless because this was going on for 3 years. And I'm like, Lord, we're supposed to move to Bulgaria. I just know it. And my husband's still saying never. And so anyhow, it just got to this point that I was like ready to break inside because it's just this battle going on. And so I wanted to go to the mission conference. And that's when this verse jumped off the page. And my husband would have cared less if I said, Keith, I signed up to go to the missions conference and I'll be gone this weekend. He would have gone, okay. But the Lord said I had to ask him. And so I went and I said, Keith, can I go to the missions conference? And he goes, I don't know. And he went to sleep. And the next night I said, Keith, can I go to the missions conference? I don't know. And he went to sleep. And this went on for like 2 weeks. And I'm like, this is just terrible. And so finally I figured it out and I said, okay, Keith, I understand your dilemma. If you say, yes, I can go to the missions conference, then you are just going to worry because I'm really going to want to go to Bulgaria then, and you're just not going to hear the end of it, you know? And I go, and you're afraid that if you tell me no, that you're just make me mad and I'll just be a bear to live with. And so you're sort of in this catch-22, how do you answer me? And I said, but I just want to let you know that all I want you to do is pray about it. Ask the Lord if I'm to go to the mission conference, and whatever you say, I'll be submissive to that, because that's just what the spiritual head's supposed to do. They're supposed to pray and ask the Lord. So I'll be submissive, I promise you. So he's like, okay. So he goes to church, or goes to work the next day, and he comes home, he goes, okay, I prayed about what you asked. I go, you did? And he goes, yeah. And I go, did the Lord put anything on your heart? And he says, yeah. I go, what? He goes, Lord put on my heart, you have a ministry in Bulgaria, and I am never to get in the way of that. And I'm like, really? Can we move? And he said, no. But he said, you can go to the missions conference. And it was so cool. To make a long story short, a miracle happened. Because I was willing to submit to the Lord and my husband in everything, a miracle happened. And the Lord showed me that my struggle was not against flesh and blood. My struggle was not against my husband about wanting to move to Bulgaria. It was all the spiritual warfare behind that. And that I needed to pray effectively for that spiritual warfare to be broken. And you know, with less than 1 week, I'm telling you the absolute truth. I have pastors' wives that were there, saw it all happen. People can tell you this really happened. In less than 1 week, God supernaturally touched my husband's life. And he said, we're moving to Bulgaria for a year. It was a miracle. And he gave up everything.
everything. He quit his job. He closed the store we had that was going to be his retirement. And people would say, Keith, what are you going to do in Bulgaria? He had never been there before, and I already had a ministry there. And he said, I don't know. If all I do is drive her around, that will be fine with me. And I have women all the time that will say, you know, as soon as my husband begins to love me like Christ loves the church, then I'll be submissive to him. But you know what? The order of this verse, now I know that the guys are supposed to do that, but the order of the verse says, wives, submit to your husbands in everything, and then it talks to the husbands. And so I do believe that it's us that need to be the first to change. And then your husband will start loving you like Christ loves the church, and it's amazing. And you know what? Keith left his heart in Bulgaria too, because 2 years later we were moving back for another 2.5 years. We just got back, we're unpacking our house, and he's talking about going again. And so see, you know, God does miracles. And then we looked at Deborah, and we looked about being strong and courageous. And the Lord really impressed upon my heart a long time ago, you know, every single thing that he ever called me to do, I was afraid to do. Back in 1990, when he first called me to this ministry, I was afraid to do it. I had never talked in front of a group of people. I was really afraid to give my testimony about abortion. I even had to go and tell my mom I had had 2 abortions. She hadn't known that. Do you think I really wanted to be willing and obedient to do that? No, Lord, you want me to do what? But I was afraid my mom would hear about my ministry through the Calvary grapevine, and she probably would have, you know. So I had to tell her. I didn't want somebody else to come. Oh, your daughter has a very interesting ministry. Really? What is that? You know, and so I had to tell my mom when the Lord put it on my heart. So everything that God has called me to do, I've been afraid to do. Every single thing. But you know what the Lord put on my heart? A courageous woman is not someone who has no fear. She is someone who is obedient to God in spite of that fear. There will be fear when God calls you into ministry, no matter what it is. If it's ministering to an unsaved friend, maybe your heart's pounding. If God calls you to serve in the children's ministry, I remember I was afraid of the kindergartners. You know, I'm serious. And then I was really afraid of the teenagers when I started teaching them. There will be fear. But a courageous woman is not someone who has no fear. She is someone who's obedient to God in spite of that fear. And you know, he's even taken me to a war zone where we were 5 miles from the border. The first bomb I ever heard, you literally could feel the concussion from it. And still, I was at perfect peace because I knew that I was exactly in God's will. And you know what? God is not going to, if you are in his will, God is not going to allow anything to happen to you that hasn't first been sifted through his love. And if something happens to you, then God's going to give you the grace and the strength to go through it. And he's going to use it in your life for a reason. And so I want to encourage you to step out in faith, to trust the Lord and be obedient to the calling. And then we looked at a modern day woman. And again, I was wondering if any of you guys put down Norma McCorvey again. Because I just think of the obedience she had to have to walk forward and tell everybody her testimony and that she changed her mind and that she's now pro-life. And do you know, she even went up before Congress? Can you imagine? She's a woman responsible for Roe versus Wade that made abortion legal in our country in 1973, for those of you that haven't been here the last 2 weeks. And yet now she's a born-again Christian. Could you imagine when the Lord put on her heart, I want you to go tell everybody you made a mistake? Go tell Congress? Would you be obedient to that call? What an obedient woman who's following what the Lord's doing in her life. And because of that obedience, she's going to impact people's lives around her for good and change that. And so I think it's important for us as women who desire to be used by God to know the work that he's calling us to do, that first we need to be willing, like Mary, to be willing to the call that he has for us. Not the plans we have, but the plans he has. Second, we need to be humble and be willing to put others before ourselves and to die to self. And especially if God starts using you in ministry, we need to give the glory to God so he'll continue to use us. The minute we start taking the glory and patting ourselves on the back, God's going to stop using us. He might let us go along for a little bit, but then he's going to let us fall flat on our face. You know, there's even verses that say that, and they're loosely paraphrased. I couldn't quote it right now, but I don't want to fall flat on my face. And there's a verse that says, cover their faces with shame. I've had enough shame in my life. I don't need more, you know? And so we need to be humble so that God can use us. And we need to be submissive. Also, Ephesians 5:21 says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And so no matter who you're submitting to, whether it's your husband, whether it's somebody in authority, a boss above you, if you're in ministry, it's the pastors, the Lord, there's an order of authority, God, the senior pastor, whatever pastor you're under in that ministry. Some of you may be submissive to Joy if you're in the women's ministry. There's an order of authority that we need to be submissive to. If you're not submissive to that, then you're out of God's will and you're not being obedient to him. And so it's important for us to be submissive as God's using us. And you know, some of you, God may be putting a ministry on your heart. You'll be so excited. You run into the church office and you go, the Lord put this on my heart. I have this wonderful ministry. I want to start yesterday. And they say, wait. And you're like, I don't understand that. And you want to go against the authority there. And the Lord says, don't do that. You know, when he called me to the ministry in 1990, it was 3 years before it actually started. Were those 3 years wasted? No. God used every day to teach me things. He was preparing me for the ministry. Just like Ephesians 2:10 says, we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do a good work which he prepared in advance for us to do. And so sometimes the advance is right now. He's preparing you right now for that work. So be submissive. And as God calls you to be submissive to that person, show that person in leadership that you're submissive. Don't grumble and complain, going, I could do it better. I really could. I know I could do it better. You know, die to self, live for Christ, and say, what do you want me to do? You want me to file? You know, God's word says that he who is faithful in the little things will be given more. I have so many people that come up and they say, oh, Cherie, you and I in ministry could go far. I want to teach with you in purity seminars. I'm like, really? I need someone to help me file. Nobody ever comes, helps me file. You know, you need to be faithful in the little things, and then you'll be given more. And so I want to encourage you to be submissive so that God can use you. And then the fourth thing is to be strong and courageous. Is there fear? Yes. But remember, a courageous woman is not someone who has no fear. She is somebody who is obedient to God in spite of that fear. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you and praise you for this message tonight. And I just thank you, Lord. And I ask that every word that is from you would just continue to go forward and do a work in these ladies' hearts. Continue to minister to them. You know each one's struggle. You know if somebody is struggling with just being willing to be obedient to your plan. Lord, you know if somebody's been struggling with putting others before themselves and having that humble attitude. Lord, you know those that have been struggling with submission, that word we hate. And Lord, you know those who are fearful. They're afraid to step out and do the things that you're calling them to do. Lord, I pray that you'd be with each woman and that you would continue to minister to them the words that you wanted them to hear, and especially the verses, Lord. Those are your words. And so, Lord, I pray that they will memorize those verses that spoke to them and that they would look to that when they want to be disobedient to you. And, Lord, that you would use them, that they would be women that would go out and change the world around them by their obedience, and that the world around them would be changed for good. We thank you and we praise you and we give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.